Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast, where you will get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside of legal nurse consulting. They will share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with 30 years experience. So, join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's Pat.
Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast. My name is Pat Iyer, and this is the Legal Nurse Podcast show that has been in existence since September of 2016, and we are heading now into beginning our eighth year of production. We've got listeners in 95 countries and growing, and are so excited to be able to share with you the information that helps you in your LNC business and your LNC practice. I was just recently in Louisville at the American Association of Legal Nurse Consultants conference and was excited to meet many of you who are listening to the show, who came up to me and said, "Pat, I love your show." So it is with great pleasure that I bring to you today another legal nurse consultant to talk about a topic that influences your practice, and that is creating your work product when you work on personal injury cases. Laura Lux Keegan is an independent LNC business owner. She has been in business for the last 7 years. She's got 27 years of experience that spans ICU, med-surg, ER, adolescent, and home health. Quite a few areas of nursing, Laura, that you have been exposed to and worked in. And she provides services to both plaintiff and defense attorneys, including those who are handling personal injury, med-mal, toxic tort, and product liability cases. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you so much for having me. I have followed you for many years, and your knowledge and your ability to share and willingness to share, it's so appreciative in the LNC community. So I personally want to thank you for conferences and everything you provided for us.
Well, thank you, Laura. It is a pleasure. And it's exciting to me to be able to share some of the lessons that I've learned the hard way and help people avoid some of those things that I have gone through. As we think about personal injury, I want to qualify that term because I've learned that the defense world sometimes uses the term bodily injury versus personal injury, and yet we're talking about the same kind of incidents that lead to litigation. From your perspective as an LNC, what are some of the different kinds of personal injury cases that we can help with as legal nurse consultants?
Well, thank you. When I first became interested in this area, I really thought this was going to be motor vehicle accidents. That is what I was going to do. And it, you know, I like the variety. So the good news is yes, there are a lot of motor vehicle accidents that you can work with, but you can work in other areas. I've worked with injuries with animals, large animals, animals that were rented out for entertainment purposes, collapses of different buildings, roof collapses, and other things that have happened to these plaintiffs, and just a whole variety. And also, like you said, product liability, you can get into areas where maybe implant devices or things like that, that you can help attorneys with, and also toxic tort, which I've had experience in, where it was a chemical. So it's not just motor vehicle accidents. I've had bike accidents, pedestrian accidents, people hit in the middle of a road, you know, things vary, a lot of different types of cases.
Yes, there is a variety. I think about also slips and falls on ice that keep the orthopedic surgeons busy in the wintertime and keep the plaintiff attorneys busy as those cases head into litigation. I worked on a case literally where a man slipped on a banana peel by a dumpster. You know, that classic image that we have, at least growing up in the United States, of somebody slipping on a banana peel. Burns are common in personal injury cases. Tractor trailer crashes. All kinds of bizarre things can happen to injure people.
Yes, I've had several with motor vehicle accidents and with the tractor trailer, and one involving a tractor trailer that was hauling other cars. So as the accident happened, cars were coming off of the trailer and hitting other vehicles. So that was a really interesting case. And slip and fall, thanks for bringing that up. I've had a really interesting case with a nationally known brand on a slip and fall, on an item that shouldn't have been on the floor and just happened to be dropped by a customer or someone. So slip and fall were definitely a big part of the cases too.
Now, as you're talking about these cases, are you working primarily for one side? In other words, do you do mostly plaintiff cases? Do you do mostly defense cases?
Yeah, so thanks for that. I really set out when I decided to try to get into this area to broaden my skill set as much as possible. So I really sought out both plaintiff and defense cases, and I've been really fortunate to have that balance. And I'm really balanced in my work. So I have both types of cases that I do.
Is there a difference in the request if a plaintiff attorney asks you to do a chronology, for example, versus a defense attorney?
The chronology piece can differ, as in the depth that they're looking for prior injury or any prior issues, chronic conditions. Some of the attorneys want a very deep dive on that, and others want to just know the basics. So it really does depend on the attorney, what level they want to know about priors. And some attorneys want every single visit noted, whether it's related or not. Maybe it was just their annual exam or well woman exam, and another attorney wouldn't want that product if it's not related or they didn't discuss the accident. So that's a really good point, that they will look for different things, and they'll look at the depth of items differently, you know? So we'll delve deep into causation and things like that when we're looking on the plaintiff side, and defense too, but they're really looking for those areas that have been highlighted in by other providers, regarding causation.
How do you know what they want you to extract from the records?
That is trial and error. I think, like you said, when you don't know them. So the best advice I can give is to speak with them as much as you can, or whoever you're doing product for. Really ask detailed questions about what level they want you to do. And if you can get a sample of what they like, that's great. That'll help you out, because you really are trying to pinpoint what the attorney is looking for. You may do a deeper dive in areas that they don't want to be involved in. And you spent your time and effort in that, and it may look great and wonderful, and another attorney may appreciate it, but that attorney may not want that. So speak to whoever you're doing the work for, the detail and what areas they really want your focus to be. Some want your focus to be everything. They really do. They want every visit and they want it detailed. So just know what your client's needs are.
We mentioned the chronology as a type of work product that your clients could request. What else do they ask you for?
I have some clients that prefer a narrative report, and a narrative is literally, it is fully written sentences, grammatically correct sentences. Everything needs to be pretty perfect in that. You're still giving level of detail that you would in your chronology, but maybe not the whole breadth of detail that you would have in your chronology. And it goes in a chronological order. It's just written by dates. Some prefer it to be from the date of the injury or DOL or date of loss. That's the date of the accident or incident and going forward. And others will want prior information put into the narrative. So again, asking your attorney what they prefer.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different type of case. And then I've done other types that are different than the standard. And that's a case summary That's where you take the entire case and you summarize the most important facts of that case. So for example, if you maybe you had a 60-page chronology and you reduce that down to a 2-page case summary. So it has the highlights of the date of the accident, obviously, but then key providers, procedures, surgeries like that are in there, and not every single visit. So they would get that. Usually they would pay for that separately. That would be an additional case that I provide for them. And then I've also done something called depo summaries. That's pretty unique in the LNC world. I know there's businesses that do that exclusively, but I've had the opportunity to do that. That's where you take a deposition's already occurred, and you're given the records, and you go through and you summarize it for the attorney, showing different parts of the deposition where the information can be located, and put it in a really easy way to follow that. And they'll use that when they're going forward, if they're heading to trial and things like that. That's a really nice product to offer that a lot of LNCs do not offer.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I have done several of those on cases, and it's essential to know the focus of the case, so that as you're going through the deposition, you're picking out the key points or looking for discrepancies in testimony when sequencing or time or events or reporting of information is critical. What does one person say compared to another person? Can you catch them in falsehoods because somebody else has testified completely different about something that occurred?
Yes, yeah, and you will find that sometimes. And the real benefit is if I have worked up the chronology for that client, and then I get to follow through with the deposition summary, then I will reference out, not just put it and summarize it for them, but I'll analyze what I know from the records. And I'll say, well, they stated in their medical records to this provider, this, this, and this, but on deposition, they stated the opposite. So it's just another tool you can provide for your attorney to help them as they go forward and working up the case even further.
One of the things that continues to come up in conversations that I have with legal nurse consultants as I coach them is the attorney who says, I have a paralegal. They can do a chronology for me. Why do I need a nurse? My paralegal can do that. And I think about that statement because I've heard it dozens of times over the years. Attorneys who have been exposed to legal nurse consulting work product laugh when they hear a colleague has said something like that because they clearly understand the difference. I'm thinking that the analysis piece separates the legal nurse consultant and the paralegal, in addition to the fact that the legal nurse consultant will see in the chronology things that might go over the head of the paralegal, terms that the paralegal has to look up that the legal nurse consultant doesn't. But aside from all of that, let's talk about that analysis as part of what we can offer and how we can describe that to attorneys of what we do when we provide an analysis independent of doing a chronology.
Yes, Pat, we've all encountered that, an attorney telling us that, and you're exactly right. And I bring up that exact point. The analysis is completely different. Can a paralegal do a lovely job on a chronology? Absolutely. They can take records and reduce them down, but it's the legal nurse that knows what is normal, what is not normal in those settings. We've taken care of these patients. We understand the severity. And so analysis is a huge part of what I provide and what we all provide for our attorneys. And if you're not providing it, to educate your attorney on what you could be providing. I've had some attorneys, they will say that, well, we give our paralegals a certain number of cases, but for the very challenging, very difficult, we seek out legal nurse experts, medical experts for those cases. So you're not doing product for all of their cases necessarily, but for their more difficult ones. And there's different ways to produce that and different levels of analysis. Some just want red flags, but sometimes if you can take it the next step, I have research in my background. I used to do that in a university setting. So I really take that next step sometimes and provide them a little more than what they asked for. And it's been beneficial for me on some of my cases, some of the findings. So I encourage them not just to do analysis, but sometimes throw in a research piece or something that you looked up. Maybe you don't remember all the details of that procedure. Look it up and provide that, provide a link for your attorney. Sometimes that is just an added benefit that sets you apart from other, even other LNCs.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting what you said, because it's part marketing, it's part our skill set. To show an attorney, yes, you asked for a chronology, but I can give you something that you hadn't considered, or I can point out to you things that your adversary is going to find in the records that will bite you if you don't know about them. Or I can identify how I think your adversary will take this information and spin it and turn it into a negative factor that influences the case. Don't you want to be prepared before your adversary surprises you in the courtroom? That's a phrase that causes attorneys to have blood run cold in their veins of, oh, to be surprised, to not be prepared? Oh, no, that's not something that I want. That's not part of the way that I want to practice law. Please tell me, Laura, before I get caught, those things that could be a problem for me.
Exactly. And that's my goal, is I want to prepare the attorney the best I can, whichever side I'm working on. And that's why working both different types of cases will help you. Because when I'm working a plaintiff case, I know what the defense is looking for because I do defense work. When I'm doing a defense case, I know what the plaintiff is looking for because I do plaintiff work. So the more broad you can make yourself in these areas, you're going to just help your attorney client that much more. And as far as analysis, too, just to let some people know, it's common practice that you see like an LNC comment section in your chronology, and you may put your alerts in that area or red flags, however, whatever you want to call it, inconsistency. There's different terms we all use for that, or that the attorneys use, but some do want that separate. They don't want it in a side column. So again, asking your attorney what they want. Some have requested that the document's completely separate from the report. So just know what their needs are.
And let's explain why attorneys would not want it in the chronology. Before we continue with the show, I'd like to share this special announcement with you. I'm Pat Iyer, an experienced legal nurse consultant. I have worked with hundreds of subcontractors. The following characteristics stand out for me. Be quick. I knew nurses who wanted to be LNCs but couldn't figure out how to use the computer template or organize or analyze medical records. They read every word of the extraneous information found in medical records. Beginners need a learning curve, but this has its limits. Company owners avoid sending attorneys unjustifiably large invoices. They can't charge attorneys for a lot of learning time. Ask yourself honestly if you're a quick learner. If you're not, LNC work may not be for you. Point number two, be responsive. My attorney's clients suggest to me their biggest complaint is that they called expert witnesses saying they needed a report and they never received a response. Then they called me. I dreaded those calls. Non-responsive subcontractors didn't last long with me. An LNC who gives you cases needs you to return phone calls and meet deadlines. There's often no room to negotiate an extension of deadlines. Number three, be reliable. Attorneys have non-negotiable court-imposed deadlines. They don't want to hear that your car broke down, or that you waited till the last minute, or your computer crashed. There's usually no leeway. Number four, be coachable. Be open to feedback, to look at the proofreading somebody else has done to your report, and learn from the suggestions. Your work product must be impeccable. Number five, be ethical. It's unethical for an attorney to go behind the legal nurse consultant's back and attempt to hire you. If the LNC boss asks you to sign a non-compete agreement, follow its terms. Even if you didn't,
It's an unwritten rule that you will not attempt to steal the LNC's client. You will be labeled as untrustworthy. Learn much more about the details of being a subcontractor in LNC Subcontracting, How to Boost Your Business, at this link, lnc.tips/creating-series. Now let's return to the show.
So there's different reasons. Sometimes they want to share, the most important part is they may want to share your chronology and your work product with other people involved in the case. They may even share it with a consulting expert that they have, or a medical expert that they want to bring in. And they want them to just see the facts of your chronology, and they appreciate the analysis. They'll use it as the attorney, but they may not want that shared with the expert. They want the expert to look at it with fresh eyes and not have any opinions in their work product. That's more typical, is that they will either take that portion out or they'll ask you to put your alerts in a separate column completely. I did have one client one time that wanted it at the end of the entry. So if you found it in an entry, they wanted it to be the last sentence. That was very unique. But again, that worked for that client. So instead of pushing my way, which I think is a very good way to put it elsewhere, I followed what the client wanted. And that's hard sometimes when you like your product better than what you're being asked to do. So I encourage you to open your mind to what the different attorneys want. And there's reasons behind why they want it different ways.
I'm smiling because there was an LNC who made a comment in a program I taught once and said, the attorney told me to structure the report in a way that I didn't want to structure it. Do I have to listen to what he asked me to do? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
If you want more business, yes.
Right. You want to get paid? Right. Yes, you do have to. And maybe the attorney's preference makes sense to you. Maybe it doesn't, but the attorney asked you for that. So follow the attorney's guidelines.
Yes. Yes. You're so right.
As we think about those little nuggets that we find in medical records, as people who are very detail-oriented, one of the qualities for success in this field is being able to pick out those pieces that are significant. Tell us a story, Laura, about where you found something in the medical records that had an impact on the case.
Yes, I mean, that is a highlight of what we do. I think that's really what's behind our passion, a lot of us, is trying to find things like that. So I had a very interesting case. I was working with the defense on that case, and there were different providers that were providing care after the date of the injury or the accident, and they were having different opinions about the severity of the accident. We had one particular provider that I believe they were resting their case heavily on, who was opining on causation and prognosis and different opinions about it. And the severity didn't seem to match some of the other providers. The other red flag I noted in this provider's case was there was no change in updates in the subjective area of the case. So the symptoms are the same. Maybe they said they were going out of town to visit a daughter on one visit, and then the next time they come back after that visit, they're still going out of town to visit the daughter. So they don't update, and it continues to be the same exact verbiage, and they're seeing them frequently. So we see that sometimes, but when it's that blatant, my flags were just going up about this. So as I worked up the case further, and I couldn't match up the injury, the level of injury, and I knew they were going to rely on this person a lot, I started to do some of my research, and I researched that provider, which I do sometimes to make sure that, are they working in the specialty area that they provided? That's a helpful tip to give to some of your attorney clients. Maybe they're practicing outside of their specialty area. He was in a specialty area, this provider was. However, I found through the medical board that he was being sanctioned for fraudulent activity. And further research found that there was entire articles about where he was at and that they were getting sanctioned and in trouble for unnecessary visits, for excessive diagnoses, things like that. That was key to what was going on. So that was one of the bigger finds I had on a case that I made sure that was conveyed to the attorney. So.
Wow. And that was information that you uncovered with some searching that the attorneys in this case likely didn't know and appreciated very much having that information. At least the attorney who hired you, I assume, was very appreciative.
So I'm sure it was utilized on both sides.
As you think about cases that you've worked on, and we've talked a little bit about chronologies, whether they're in a table form or a narrative form. We've talked about deposition summaries. We talked about the analysis. Are there ways that legal nurse consultants can work with attorneys to help bring in those additional steps in working on the case after they've done the initial work?
Yes, just staying open with the attorney or whoever you're working for, if you're contracting, staying open to developing further information for the case. You'll see that sometimes they may ask you to do a very basic review on the first go around because they're not sure where that case is going. And then as they're heading to deposition, they may ask you to look at the records at a deeper level. That's a separate product. You're producing a new product with new billable hours. And then after that piece, maybe they're going to come back to you with a deposition. You could provide the deposition summary, or we are so excited to find all those lists of missing records. And we're so excited to submit that to the attorney, but we forget that they're hopefully, if they're doing a great job, which they are, they're going to ask for those missing records. And then you need to now take those missing records and put them back into your first report. So that's an update. That's another way that nurses can continue to work with an attorney. You didn't just do a one and done report. You put yourself out. Hey, when you get more records, come to me and I will update your records for you. So that's another thing we can reach out. And also, Pat, we didn't talk about it as much, but billing review. So I've had some clients that want you to review the bills, and I have other clients who do not want you to review the bills. So if they're in your record, knowing whether your client wants it or not, but it's often a good area to find missing records. You may have a bill for a provider and you don't have the records. So it's a great way to identify that. That's another service you can provide. You're not a billing expert. You're not looking at billing to see was it appropriate or not. So it's an important distinction in the legal nurse world, what I do when I review a billing record versus what an expert in billing does. They're completely different areas.
Yes. Yeah, those are all valuable services. I'm thinking about a call I had earlier this week with one of my coaching clients, and I subcontracted a case to her. And we talked with the attorney after completing the chronology, and he had a whole group of questions to ask. And then I said, you've got some depositions coming up. Would you like help writing the questions for the deposition? And he looked at us like that had never occurred to him. And he said, yeah, that would be great. So we spent an hour this week discussing the strategy of the deposition that he's taking next week, the kinds of questions that he should be asking this physician, the role of this physician in this case, getting more details about how the chain of command worked in that particular unit. And at the end of an hour of talking with him, he said, you know, this was really great. Now I have time to ponder what I'm going to ask in the deposition. And you've given me some ideas about questions that hadn't occurred to me.
Yes, that is a great point. I have provided that for some of my clients through finding alerts or red flags. They turn into deposition questions at times. But I've also had ones where I just put a bullet list together of questions that came up as I was reviewing the case, things that I would have asked, I would want asked by that provider in that visit that didn't get asked. So, and I put that in there and I notify my clients, and whether they use that in a deposition or if they're working with the plaintiff, I may say, your client said X, Y, and Z with Dr. Smith, and you may want to clarify that because they forgot that they had an accident before, or maybe that's the first time they said they had a previous accident. There's nowhere else in the records. So those are important things. They may just internally want to talk to their client and ask and clarify before they get to deposition. Mm-hmm. So that's a great service to offer, Pat, for sure.
It is. And it's those pesky little things, like the person who has two accidents and ends up injuring the same parts of their body each time. And that drives the attorneys and LNCs wild, trying to separate out. Were you fully recovered from the first one before you got in the second one? I developed an expression in my business. You're allowed one accident per person per lifetime. That's it. You're done. You can't have any more. Otherwise, it can be very challenging to attribute injuries to one accident versus the other.
It can be, or in some of the cases where I was doing plaintiff work and they said they never had an accident all through the interview process to all the providers, and then you find a record from 10 years ago and there was definitely an accident, there was an injury, and now what are you going to do with that information? You're going to share it, obviously, whichever mm-hmm. side you're on. So, mm-hmm.
I know of attorneys who have terminated their relationships with clients when they found out that they were lying to them.
Yes, and that's a good point. We get excited about the things that we find, but we do need to be mindful of our client at the end of the day. They may have invested a lot of time and money into this case, and you found something, you're so excited, but it's going to be harmful, but you can't wait to tell them. So temper that news, because that is hard news to hear sometimes when they've been trusting a client, or on the other side, the defense side, that they thought, you know, our case is pretty solid, and then you find something that shakes it. So just temper that news when you're giving that to your attorney. You still want to be truthful and honest always, but with a gentle touch sometimes.
Yes. I know that our viewer who's watching this on our YouTube channel, or our listeners listening to this on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other platforms, are going to want to know how to reach you, Laura. What would be the best way for them to find out more about you and the services you offer?
Thanks, Pat. I appreciate that opportunity. I do have a website. It's luxlegalnurse.com. That's luxlegalnurse.com. I'm also available on LinkedIn as Laura Lux Keegan. And I have an email address too. That's luxlegalnurse@gmail.com. And I welcome attorneys or other legal nurses to reach out to me if you have questions or anything that came up today. I'm available, and I love to network with my other LNCs and with other attorneys.
Thank you, Laura. And I know that prior guests on Legal Nurse Podcast have gotten contacts as a result of being interviewed. We encourage you to reach out to Laura and use that contact information to ask her questions. Thank you, Laura, for being a guest on Legal Nurse Podcast.
Thank you, Pat. It was a pleasure.
And for you who's been watching this program or listening to it, be sure to take advantage of my request. I would love to see where you're watching or listening to Legal Nurse Podcast. Hats out to Amanda Parrott, who sent me a photograph of her walking along a pathway near the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco as a place where she listens to Legal Nurse Podcast. Where do you listen? Please send a picture to me at patiyer@legalnursebusiness.com, and we'll post it on our website for this podcast, which is podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. Stay tuned for next week, new guest, new topic, and keep that marketing hat going. Keep thinking about how you can help attorneys and stand firm in your power and your knowledge to be a useful adjunct to the Legal Nurse Consulting team and the legal team. Thanks so much. Coming up next, I'm Pat Iyer with Legal Nurse Podcast. You'll be meeting Savannah June, who works in the area of maternal fetal medicine. We just finished a 30-minute podcast about this topic, and I know that our listener is curious. What did you cover, Savannah?
Today, we talked about types of prenatal testing that is done. We talked about red flags on ultrasound reports and prenatal records, and how to get in touch with me to talk about OB cases.
Be sure to get Savannah June's podcast. If you have an opportunity to screen an obstetrical case for merit, be sure to listen to her podcast first, and it may give you some clues as to things you should be looking for, or the perception that it'd be better to subcontract the case to Savannah rather than to try to learn all of the nuances. And we covered many nuances related to prenatal testing, including blood work and ultrasounds, and some of the red flags that show up in this testing. Pat Iyer with Savannah June coming up next on Legal Nurse Podcast.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on LegalNurseBusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at LNCAcademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Join our community to get notified of each new episode and to receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. We appreciate you and your interest.